Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We cover breaking news, culture, matic warfare. We'll be your guide through the separation of money and state. Bitcoin stays winning. We're mooning right now. $31,218. Feels very, very good. And the IMF basically said that can't stop Bitcoin. You can't stop the honey badger. Well, that's obviously incredibly obvious to anyone who's been paying attention and understands Bitcoin, but they're saying the quiet part out loud, but they're still in this like coping phase where, you know, they're like, okay, but we're going to just roll out this central bank digital currency and everything's going to be all right. And we're going to be able to maintain this privilege of basically being able to create money for free that everyone else has to work for. But, you know, I think they see the writing on the wall. I think they see the inevitability of their inevitable demise. But anyways, also on the media front, which we've been covering this as well, because I think it's equally as important. So we are living through this disintermediation of money, right? We all know that. I think that's what Bitcoin is, right? But we're also living through the disintermediation of information, right? And, you know, there's a bit of a crossover, and the internet is responsible for all this, right? The internet has allowed, first, it allowed people to communicate peer-to-peer without, you know, having to go through, or better said, it allowed people to seek their own information without going through a gatekeeper, without going through an intermediary, right? And we've been watching this play out slowly but surely. We've seen people go and seek their own information. You know, instead of watching a legacy corporate media show, they'll start watching the Joe Rogan podcast, right? And what's been happening this last week is RFK Jr., which is, you know, spoke at the Bitcoin conference. He said he'll protect the right for Bitcoiners to hold Bitcoin, run their own nodes, all that good stuff. But he also talked a lot about the mainstream, to put it nicely. He talked against a lot of the mainstream pandemic narratives, right? And there was an interview that he did that was completely deplatformed from YouTube. So we live in a world right now where the second place for the Democratic presidential candidacy is getting deplatformed by, you know, like those opinions are not allowed, right? This also happened with the prior presidents as well, right? This is this crazy world, right? So, you know, it's like if you don't have the approved groupthink, your opinion is not allowed. Now, that works if you control the communication mediums. But now that the internet is around, well, people are just going to go to alternative platforms. People are just going to, you know, get their information someplace else. And the media admitted, finally, what the IMF also admitted, you know, and it's not a coincidence, again, that this is all happening around the same time, that we don't have as much power as we used to. So freedom stays winning this week. And to put the cherry on top, the price of Bitcoin is mooning, baby. Anyways, before we start the show, I want to bring up my incredible co-host, always optimistic. How you doing, Opti? I broke down a lot of stuff, a lot of themes we're going to talk about today. I'm very excited. It's freaking Friday, bro.
Hey, man, that's all cool and well, but hey, Bitcoin's pumping. Let's go.
I don't care. Not listening, not selling. Bitcoin's pumping. This is why I'm tuned in.
As our guest said right now before we went live, like, no one cares about the IMF. Let's just change the title to $1 million by the end of the day. No, we're trolling a little bit. But on that note, let's bring in our guest. I am super excited for today's guest. This is Cotton 4K. Not only is this guy an epic legendary Bitcoiner, in my opinion, he's a good friend, and I'm very excited for this because I've been talking about the Bitcoin company on the show for a couple of weeks, and people are like, yo, bring someone on from the Bitcoin company, talk about this. How are you living on Bitcoin today? Well, we got Ben Price here, aka a Bitcoin person, and we're going to talk everything he's working on. Bitcoin company, OpenSats. So we're going to give you guys all the information so you can also live on Bitcoin, KYC free, using the Bitcoin company and all his other projects. How you doing, Ben? What's up, bro?
Doing well, man. I'm getting kind of poured on out here, so I'm hiding under a little stoop in the corner, but doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you on the show, bro. And for anyone who doesn't know, Ben has made a company that makes it very easy for you to live on Bitcoin. And I think a lot of people, you know, because that's one of the things that I always get. Like, Nico, it's hard to live on a Bitcoin standard. Well, that's what the Bitcoin company is for. I think it's self-explanatory. So we're going to talk about that during the culture. We're going to dive deep. I think we've done an episode on Ben didn't. It was Ben the Carman.
The Carman. A while ago.
Well, we're going to do a refresher. We're going to do a refresher today. Talk about the Bitcoin company. And yeah, it's going to be a great show. But most importantly, what Opti said, ignore everything I just said.
Read Sessions' comment.
BTC Sessions says, Odell's having an aneurysm somewhere with the intense, humble vibes here. LOL. Oh, man. Ben, do you want to jump on the show? I can send you an invite. Let me know. Let us know in the chat. We'll do a quick audio.
Wait. Is this a chaos. Ben Council takeover?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I can rally the troops, man. We can put a call out for the Bens and get a few more in here.
Ben, if you want to come on the show, put it in the chat. I'll send you an invite. Anyways, everybody.
He's got a Ben show this afternoon. I think at 4:30 with like four Bens on it.
Yeah, but we need more Bens here.
As a staunch anti Ben Maxi, I think one Ben is enough. No, Sessions. We'll see you in a little bit, maybe.
All right, everybody. Let's jump straight into numbers. Let's do it.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody. I also want to tell you about the largest Bitcoin conference in the world, Bitcoin 2024. It's not going to be in Miami this year. It's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee, July 25th through the 27th, 2024. And you could take advantage of the early bird ticket special. For a GA, it's $299. For an industry pass, it's $749. For a whale pass, it's $4,499. And you could take advantage of the promo code simply to get yourself a major discount on Bitcoin 2024. And I hope to see you guys there. I love the change. And for anyone who hasn't been to Nashville, it's an awesome place. You guys should definitely check it out. Anyways, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 30,915. Let me refresh this. 30,915, according to Clark Moody. But according to my own sources, it's at 31,119. Sats per dollar is 3,234. Block height, 795,596. Reachable Bitcoin node, 17,096. Blocks to halving, 44,404. Halving estimate, April 21st, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,440. Bitcoin capacity value. Oh, I think I heard Ben came in. Let's bring him up, Opti. Let's bring up the man, the myth, the legend himself, BTC
Ben
Sessions.
Ben Council Takeover.
We're going to switch names for the show. BTC Sessions is going to be referred to as Nico. I'm going to be a Ben. I want to know how it feels.
Wait,
like
who's
to be Ben.
The imposter? Which one's the fake Ben?
I mean,
all Bens
I feel,
are fungible.
I feel like this is almost a 51% attack right here.
Oh my goodness.
And I mean, I think Nico's streak just pushes it over the edge. Two Bens in a streak, that takes it.
Oh man.
Wow, this is no longer a safe space.
You know what? All right, Ben, it's your show.
Oh shit. Where'd he go?
Oh man. All right. Well, we're happy to have Ben join us today. Anyways, I want to talk about this, right? Which is the theme that we were talking about in the very beginning. And we've talked about this on Simply Sessions as well, by the way. Tune in every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So I've been making this case, right? We are witnessing the complete collapse of the corporate media's legitimacy. Without the previous monopoly on mass distribution, they have to compete with the general public on equal footing. And we've been talking about these words, right? Like gatekeepers, intermediaries. But what was really interesting is Tucker brought it up last night in his show. So he got fired off of, you know, of Fox News for going against the mainstream narrative, even though he was the most popular legacy media broadcaster. He had Bitcoin supporters regularly on the show. He said publicly on the show that he supported Bitcoin. But Tucker is basically making the argument that we've been making. And what's really, really awesome before I play you the Tucker clip is that the legacy media is admitting this as well. This is a quote from a CBS News clip. It says, legacy media is not the gatekeeper. And frankly, we shouldn't. We never have been. But he has these other outlets and opportunities to get his message across, which is why he's at 20%. Which is, it's funny, though, because they've been telling us the exact opposite for the last couple of years, which is if you're not getting your information from an official news source, it is misinformation and you shouldn't trust it. So it's just interesting how that works. Anyways, I'm going to play this Tucker clip. I think Tucker says it best, and then we'll talk about it. We'll go around the horn.
Nico, I can't hear the audio.
Oh, crap. I forgot to enable it. Here we go. Quick audible real quick. Let's do that again. Here we go. Boom. All right. What about now, Opti? Here we go. Oh, man. This
Carlson, there's never been a candidate for president even utterly wrong. She'd written a book, Mass Index, as a tool of, quote, racist exclusion, which has caused historical harm. Next year, they will denounce thermometers and stethoscopes. They're insane. Compared to them, Bobby Kennedy is a mainstream figure. And people understand that. That's why he's winning. And you know he's winning by how his critics are doing. So just 4 years ago, Anna Merlin was regarded as an important expert on conspiracy theories and misinformation. She'd written a book on the topic. Here she is talking about it.
I've always thought that in the case of conspiracy peddlers, it's not necessarily a super profitable enterprise to ask whether they really believe it or not, because I don't know what's in their hearts. I don't know what's in their minds. All I know is what they spend their time doing, which is promoting conspiracy theories. In the case of ordinary people, conspiracy consumers, and most Americans are, to some degree, consumers of conspiracy theories. All the studies that we have show that like 1 in 3 Americans believe in some conspiracy theory to some extent. For the people in the very sort of deep end of the conspiracy pool, people who are consuming a lot of conspiracy content, I think it's really important to look at the way it helps them make sense of the world and make sense of our political moment and make sense of a lot of times like what's happening in their own lives.
All the studies that we have show that like 1 in 3 Americans believe in some conspiracy theory. Huh? You'll notice the upspeak, the rising inflection at the end of the sentence. That's a familiar tick in Brooklyn. It's designed to turn a declarative sentence into a question and thereby belittle the listener. Do you follow me? Is this too complicated for you? So the lady in the nose ring wants you to know she's smart, but she's not. When Merlin recorded that interview, Vice, where she now works, was valued at more than $5 billion. Genius investors like James Murdoch were showering the company with money. Everyone wanted in on the future of media, which was uptalkers like Anna Merlin lecturing you about racism and misinformation. But that has changed. Last month, Vice filed for bankruptcy. Anna Merlin is still on Twitter screeching about how her critics are transphobic, but nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear from Anna Merlin anymore. The gatekeepers are transparently ridiculous. Everyone can see that. People have started to notice.
And I think I want to focus on that last part, and you take out all the political rhetoric, which we do not talk about on Simply Bitcoin. The gatekeepers are ridiculous, and it's become absolutely transparent, right? And this is going back to this theme that we've been talking about for, a couple of months now on Simply Bitcoin. We've been talking about it on Simply Sessions, right? It's crazy what happens when people are allowed to talk directly to each other. You know, the internet has given them a platform. It's given you a platform, Ben. You know, it's allowed you to talk directly to your audience. And I think the lady that Tucker was talking about, and again, put all the political rhetoric aside, I think she really fundamentally believes that if it's not the approved narrative, it is a conspiracy theory, right? So if it's not an approved narrative, it's a conspiracy theory. And remember this and apply this to what we've been hearing about Bitcoin. Oh, remember, we heard this about inflation. Inflation, there's no inflation. That's misinformation. What are you talking about, right? So, you know, this is a brave new world that we're heading in, but it's also very, very exciting times. And, you know, watching these archaic institutions continue to lose power, you know, I think is something to behold, to say the least. Anyways, Ben, what are your thoughts? Wait, I just said Ben, what are your thoughts?
Go to Price, because he just put a good yeah, tweet in here, and I'll pull it up real quick for everyone to see.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. We're pulling up. And this is by Alan Farrington. He says, when someone says misinformation rather than false, they are either mindlessly parroting cool kid bullshit or maliciously. Why all the complicated words, bro? What does that say?
Concocting
the bullshit themselves. Serious people do not use the word misinformation except to mock the unserious. And I think Tucker really summarized that. Anyways, Ben Price, what are your thoughts, bro?
I thought my thoughts were exactly basically what Alan said, that I just the idea of misinformation is just like you're labeling things. It's like picking and choosing, you know. You can use words to make anyone kind of sound like an idiot or frame someone to be an idiot. It just reminds me of like you know, the people in my family who are, you know, right leaning always talk shit about the left, and people on the left always talking shit about the right, and it's, yeah, that's what they want. They want us fighting. So I don't have too much to add here. Tucker Carlson is said enough himself.
It's the divide and conquer, right? You hit the nail on the head, right? It's, you know, and we always say this, right? People get lost in the sauce in the right and left dichotomy, you know, and they don't understand. It's not really red versus blue. It's not a Democrat versus Republican. It's party of green, which is the party of poverty, disparity, slavery,
war
and central bank digital currencies versus the party of freedom, prosperity, and Bitcoin, which is the party of orange, right? That is the future. It's not red versus blue. Don't get lost in the sauce. Anyways, my brother, now we're brothers because we've touched tips, and we're going to touch tips again. No,
the real Ben Sessions, not the imposter Ben Sessions.
We're going to touch tips again in Canada very soon. What's up, dude? What are your thoughts on Tucker's comments?
I mean, if the government and media wants people to stop entertaining conspiracy theories, they should probably stop conspiring against the people. So like when there's a long-standing precedent set of conspiring against your populace and trying to get them to act certain ways by disseminating things that are patently false, then people are inclined to believe just about anything at any point, right? Like when you can't trust the institutions that bring you news, the people that govern you, and when there's, again, a track record of them telling you things that are false in order to get you to act a certain way, even if the initial impetus for it was altruistic, maybe somebody, and I'm not saying that this is what it was, but maybe, okay, we want to keep people safe, so we're going to do this, and we're going to tell them that if they act in this way, it will keep them safe and it will prevent certain things from happening. I'm being very vague here, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. Anyways, if that was communicated in a way that was untrue in order to drive certain behaviors, and then people realize that what was said was untrue, then they're not going to trust you. And, you know, my wife is a nurse over the past couple of years, watching everything play out, saying the communication around everything was awful. If people had just been honest about what they knew, then a lot of this BS could have been avoided. But anyways, that's the point.
I think you hit the nail on the head, right? I think that if people aren't telling the truth, I think people are just going to go like, okay, what's the famous saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Can't fool me again.
Can't fool me again.
Yeah, right. So it's like, you know, these legacy media institutions, right, which a lot of people, they put a lot of trust in them. Like, this is CBS News. This is CNN, the most trusted name in news. And then years go by, and then you're like, wait a second. Hold on. What you just said was not true, and we're supposed to trust you. And then the guy on TV that doesn't wear, no, the guy on Twitter that's not wearing a suit is telling me more truth. Or, for example, Joe Rogan, the bald guy that, you know, comments on the UFC fights is telling me more truth than this official news source. Where are people going to go to? And I think that's why you saw the rise of Joe Rogan. I think that's why you see the rise of independent media continue to explode like it is. And I think that's why Tucker was so popular for a while, because he was saying the quiet parts out loud. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this? And then we'll move on to the news segment.
Yeah, well, I kind of want to touch on some of the things that she said herself, you know, conspiracy consumers, like, what the fuck? That's great, great branding. Also, what'd she say? One in three Americans believe in the truth and still have a brain. That's a silver lining. That's a little more bullish than I would think. If I was looking out at the average person, it seemed like most people just trust the science. And the last part of Tucker Carlson's speech is something we talk about all the time, is that the gatekeepers are transparently ridiculous. I say this probably every single day. I'm still surprised that people have any sense of legitimacy to any of these corporate institutions. In my opinion, I use the same quote all the time. I am reminded of the Dave Chappelle as a politician skit all the time when I'm seeing politicians. And like, that's what I see every single time. And I can't get out of my head. But I mean, we touched on everything here, you know, divide and conquer, trust the experts. Like, since when can we not discuss ideas? Like, what kind of collectivist dystopia do we live in? It's literally Orwell's 1984 quote, like, do not trust your eyes and ears, but follow the party line. It's absolutely insane that this is where we at. Peak clown world. Well, probably not peak clown world, but clown world confirm. And you know, if you talk amongst friends, guys, straight to the gulag. So here we are. It's almost like history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. And we are falling back into things we've seen. There he is, all the time in history. It's like we can't even discuss the truth anymore, or else you're a conspiracy theorist.
Is it a gulag episode?
Someone said it in the chat, and I think this is a quote that we all believe. What's the difference between conspiracy theories and truth? It's only six months.
It's like 6 months.
I think now it's down to like 3 months or something, maybe 3 weeks. Like, what is going on? It's accelerating.
Oh, man. It's accelerating, to say the least. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's jump straight into the news. Let's do it.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade. Built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, guys, I want to give a shout out to the Orange Pill app. They are building the social layer for Bitcoin, as crazy as it sounds. Without the people, Bitcoin is just ones and zeros. Bitcoin is the people. Bitcoin is you. It's me. It's Opti. It's Satoshi. It's the Benz. Download the Orange Pill app for iOS or Android. Connect with other Bitcoiners in real life. Find other Bitcoiners that live near you. And you can even go into the app totally anon and search for other Bitcoiners by common interest. Orange Pill app is also the world's biggest repository for Bitcoin-only events. If you want to meet other Bitcoiners in real life, this is the app for you. Sign up through the App Store, and you can even pay in sats. And of course, Opti and I appreciate all the love and messages, and we try to take the time to go through them. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the news. I'm really excited because we got some bends on the show today, and I'm really excited to talk about this. On the day that Bitcoin is pumping, the IMF admits defeat. The week that BlackRock basically said, you know what, SEC, I know what you're doing with Coinbase, but we're going to file for an ETF anyways. And then Fidelity quickly followed suit. And these large banks are like, we'll custody Bitcoin. On the same week, the IMF, I think, is finally seeing the writing on the wall. They released a report. So I'm going to get into this article, and then we're going to go around the horn. It says in a June 22nd report on Latin America and the Caribbean, the IMF pointed to various approaches taken by local governments in addressing the adoption of cryptocurrencies and central bank digital currencies. The IMF said Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador, whose government's regulation of crypto was in, quote, progress, ranked among the highest countries in the world for the adoption of digital assets in an effort to help the unbanked send faster and cheaper payments and more. In addition, according to the fund, most central banks in the region, quote, have or are considering adopting digital currencies. Now, why do you think the adoption of Bitcoin is so high in Argentina? Well, a central bank digital currency doesn't solve the fundamental fucking issue. And the fact that they avoid it so much, I think really points out the fact that they don't want you to talk about it. Central bank digital currencies don't solve the inflation problem. And if you're living in Argentina and you're dealing with 100% inflation, it's a problem. It's a big deal. You're going to have to, you know, decide, how am I going to put food on the table for my family? A central bank digital currency, even if it's more of quote unquote efficient dystopian payments, isn't going to maintain your purchasing power. And I think that's a weak point that they don't want to talk about. Anyways, it goes on to say, quote, if well-designed, CBDCs can strengthen the usability, resilience, efficiency of payment systems and increase financial inclusion in Latin America and the Caribbean, said the IMF. Quote, while a few countries have completely banned crypto assets given their risks, this approach may not be effective in the long run. The region should instead focus on addressing the drivers of crypto demand, including citizens' unmet digital payment needs, and on improving transparency by recording crypto asset transactions in national statistics. Again, inflation is not fucking mentioned there. I wonder why. This is why people are choosing a different alternative. This is why the adoption rate is so high in places like Nigeria, which also has a crazy inflation rate. This is why the adoption rate is so high in places like Turkey, which also has crazy inflation. It is not because people, the citizens, have unmet digital payment needs or they want more fucking transparency. It's because they're sick and fucking tired of being stolen from. This is what it boils down to. Like, this is literally as simple as that, you know? And as much as they fucking spin and try to tell you, you know, we'll borrow from the number segment, that it's fucking misinformation, I will still be screaming this shit from the fucking gulag. I'm tired of using fucking money that steals from me. Period. I refuse to go back. I want money that doesn't steal from me, that I could pass on to my children. I want to conserve my work, my time, and my energy, and only Bitcoin could do that. And I will say this even from the gulag. Anyways, I'm going to pass it on to Ben Price and then my brother, BTC Sessions.
Just open forum here. I mean, okay. The government really fucked up money for all of us. I think like it was incredible. It's incredible that over like, you know, a couple millennia, humans coalesced around the best thing that we had, the best thing we could figure out, which was gold. And we all naturally got there. And then we just went ahead and decoupled that. You know, we kind of like tried to like improve it with paper money. And for a while, like it probably was like a decent improvement. You know, you don't have to carry around gold bars and you know, shave off little pieces for your bread. And then we just totally fucked it. We basically, you know, shot ourselves in the foot or the, you know, head basically, and said, you know what, that 2000 years of, you know, suffering and human ingenuity that got us to the best money we could find, fuck it all. Like, we're going to turn it into paper and we're going to start stealing from everyone equally all over the globe, unless I'm one of the lucky, you know, 10 people at the printing press. And I think, you know, it's a story we know too well, but it's a story that no one else does. No one knows what money is. No one knows. The schools don't teach you that. I was a quote unquote economics major coming out of UNC Chapel Hill. I never even heard of Austrian economics, yet they, you know, gladly gave me a piece of paper telling me, you know, tell the story about Keynesian economics, that, you know, the government knows what they're doing and pull the levers and they can print money. It's all a total sham. Additionally, like, I have some color here. Like, I worked at Visa on their you know, crypto team, and the only thing that they were really focused on, other than like NFT BS, was CBDCs. You had central banks from all over the world calling up Visa, calling up MasterCard, asking, you know, what are we doing? Like, how does this work? China's doing this thing, like the central bank digital currency thing. How should we be thinking about it? And it's coming. Like, literally, it's, I think the numbers are now like 95% of governments have like been testing CBDCs. It's definitely coming. And, you know, your governments are calling up pretty much like evil companies that have been, you know, stealing a percentage point here or there, you know, for advice on this. Privacy is not a goal. You know, the end goal is to surveil everything, for you to have no concept of cash, no concept of privacy. And yeah, like it's going to come. Like, we'll see how they try to implement it. I think like banning cash will probably be step number one. CBDCs, you know, digital IDs will be step number two. Then they're going to start doing negative interest rate policy. They're going to start just like pulling funds out of your account, telling you what you can and can't spend it on. But I don't know. Moral of the story is, yeah, government fucked this up really bad. So like, you know, giving them a second chance at it with like a more surveilled, like medium of exchange is not going to work. Like they had their chance and they royally fucked it up. So like, you know, Bitcoin's going to be the answer. We'll see. We'll see how quickly they mess this up, but it's certainly not going to be good.
100%. And just to kind of add to your point, right? That like I think that they inevitably fucked it up because the incentives were always misaligned. And like if you just look at it from like a historical context, you know, even if you look at like, you know, the Roman Republic and the Roman Empire, right? You know, the Roman emperors did the same thing. They inflated the money, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if I had a money printer, I would probably be printing money too. Like, I'm right? Not above that.
So like, it kind of just boils down to maybe, you know, we shouldn't work for a money that another man can create for free. Maybe there should be a cost to creating money, right? And I think, you know, maybe. I think Satoshi might have figured that out. Anyways. BTC Sessions. What's up, bro? What's on your mind?
I mean, I just think that this stuff is going to fail so hard. Like I when you get down to the crux of it, okay, let's say they implement, you know, we get our CBDCs, we get our, you know, meat quotas and things like that. You're allowed to spend on this, not on that. If you support something the government doesn't like, your money doesn't work or anything. Let's say we get to that world. And furthermore, I want to bring up, I saw a tweet earlier from George Gammon, and he was talking about like he has this annual economic report from the BIS, and they're talking about plans for a global CBDC. And he's saying like, oh, this is horrifying. They're going to say that all private property has legal ownership, house, car, stocks. They'll be recorded via tokenization on their unified ledger. Like, and then they're talking about doing this as a global thing. And then he's saying they don't have to make Bitcoin, gold, and silver and cash illegal. They just won't transfer legal ownership of property unless it's paid with money that has been tokenized and operates within the ecosystem of their unified ledger. Oof. And I think that approach is stupid, because think in practice of people begin to realize that their money is broken. They're not allowed to buy things that they want with the money that they have. What are they going to do? They're going to go back to local circular economies with money that works for them. Me, as an individual that is buying things and living on earning Bitcoin and buying things with it, if there's a global CBDC system that says I'm not allowed to have a certain amount of meat or any meat in a certain period of time, that doesn't affect me with my free and open monetary system, with the sats that I earn when I go to my local rancher and I stock my freezer full of beef. It doesn't affect me when I go to the guy that has 20 chickens and pick up my eggs and bring them home and pay them with sats with a free and open source wallet that I use. It doesn't affect me when I build communities with people with like-minded values and we can just transact amongst each other. And I think it's important that Bitcoiners get on that track and that we start just building these local circular economies ourselves. Like, that's the important thing. Start putting your sound money where your mouth is and start using it, because they want you in that ecosystem where there's absolute control and they get to dictate how they think the world should be. You can be outside of that system if you just build that community. Go to your local meetups. Every time at a local meetup, say, hey, I'm looking for this. I'm willing to pay in sats. You're going to have either somebody in the room or somebody who knows a guy that might be up for that. And you'll start to forge those relationships. People think that we need to have some sort of battle with the government over this. No, you just need to build good relationships with people that are close to you. That's all you need to do. And then you are immune.
100%, right? Take opt out and take personal responsibility, take Bitcoin into self-custody and focus on your local communities, right? And that's it. Like, they can't really do anything at that point, you know? Of course, they could always send you to the gulag, but hopefully it doesn't get to that point. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this before we get to the culture?
Well,
we're gonna have a special culture today because, you know, we got two guests. So.
No, we're shilling Bitcoin company hard.
Okay. All
right. No, but guys, first joke, Gulag's going to be so lit with like all the awesome Bitcoiners that are going to be in there. It's going to be like the place to be. If you're not in the Gulag, like you're really just not trying.
Gulag is the new Citadel. Yeah.
But man, so much signal from the Bens. I might be, you know, capitulating on being an anti-Ben council member because there's a lot of signal coming from the Bens today. So might have to reevaluate on that one. But to the news, Nico, it does seem like the IMF is capitulating on Bitcoin. They're obviously still kind of using still using the crypto language, but it does seem like the signal is spreading, and they at least internally probably know that they can't stop Bitcoin. They will still do their best to gaslight the normie out there, but it just shows that Bitcoin keeps winning. And we're not covering it today, but did you guys catch, I know Price caught it this morning, Fabio Panetta's speech about,
I'm saving that for Monday, bro.
All right, dude. And there was so much cope in that, but it's the same idea where it doesn't matter what institution is coming out, they're still doing the same thing where they are capitulating on the fact that they can't control Bitcoin, but then they're also doing all kinds of coverage to make it seem like Bitcoin is a failure. And it's just like, okay, this is where we are in the cycle of this bull run. You know, just keep the obituaries coming because TikTok next block, Bitcoin doesn't care. And also, let's not forget that the Fed's FedNow system is going to be released next month, or at least allegedly is going to be released next month. So like the CBD systems are basically here. Obviously, I think it's a little too late, a little too late, and they can try to outcompete all the Bitcoiners. But I think humans, you know, I'm team human. I think that if they are given a fair choice, if they are educated and they know exactly what they're opting into, they will choose Bitcoin over, a CBDC system that is surgically controlling every aspect of their lives. So again, just to reiterate the question, maybe there should be a money with no middleman. But hey, maybe I'm the extremist here and deserves to be in the gulag with Nico and Yellow.
Yeah, bro. And, you know, the Bens are also welcome in the gulag. We'll be live streaming from the gulag.
Price is already up against the wall.
Yeah, man.
Anyways, everybody, before we get to the culture segment, you want to make it over the finish line with your generational wealth. You don't want to
make it past the gulag.
Yeah, you want to make it past the gulag. You don't want to lose your Bitcoin wallet backup seed words because you decided to store it on paper. You want to store it on steel. This is the BitPlates Domino. They're designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases. It's made from highly corrosion-resistant 316 marine-grade stainless steel. And it offers the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. You could take advantage of the promo code simply to get 10% off bitplates.com. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's jump straight into the culture. Let's do it.
The Daily Culture.
brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar-cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys, I also want to tell you about Swan's new offer. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you could secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, non-ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing. Get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. Build your legacy your way. If you guys have any questions, doubts, or concerns, you could always hit me up. Twitter DM or the Orange Pill app. Opti, it's all yours, my friend.
Let's go. Okay, guys. So I forget when I brought up the fact that I legitimately live off the Bitcoin company. And someone in the chat was like, yo, can you guys bring someone on from the Bitcoin company and we can talk about it? I'm like, well, I got the perfect guy. I will bring on the CEO, Ben Price. So, Ben, I know I told you that I can Jack Mahler shill this, but let's let you do the the initial jump in. I'll go through some of your screens and stuff. What is the Bitcoin company? What's the goal? What are you trying to do over here? And then I'll go in and do my little rant on why I think everyone should download this.
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit about the circular economy, and you know, we all want to live in a world where you can go to your local coffee shop and spend Bitcoin. And I think, like, as Bitcoiners, we actually do a really great job supporting companies that, you know, Tahini's or, you know, insert like random company that's adopted Bitcoin here. But the reality is today, like, not every, you know, this bar that I'm at or this coffee shop that I'm at, they don't accept Bitcoin yet. It's coming, and when it happens, it'll be great. But in the meantime, we need a way to live off your Bitcoin. So there's a couple companies out there. Everyone kind of fills their niche. Like, you've got, you know, we just heard about Swan. They kind of like help you do your dollar cost averaging. There's other companies like us that are focusing on bringing new people into the fold. So it's hard. It's really hard to convince people, especially like today's day and age, to buy Bitcoin. And so we help you earn it. We help you, like, we don't ask you to give us up your paycheck and, you know, buy Bitcoin, buy this mysterious token that you don't understand. We just give it to you for free, just like Rakuten, just like, you know, Discover card, where, you know, you get airline miles or points. Instead of all that BS, we just give you Bitcoin. So you can buy a Visa card on our application. You know, it's great for the unbanked. You pay with Bitcoin, and you can basically spend your Bitcoin anywhere. And instead of like paying Swan 1% or paying River or paying Strike or paying Coinbase, we actually pay you. We give you rewards for sending us your Bitcoin. And so our you know, breadwinner is the Visa card product. You basically send us some Bitcoin, you load up a, you know, $500 Visa card, and then you add it to your, you know, Apple wallet, Google wallet, and spend it anywhere. And in essence, you're spending your Bitcoin and you're earning Bitcoin rewards for doing it. But we've also got, you know, 2,000 other merchants. You know, you can buy Airbnb gift cards, you can buy American Airlines gift cards. I basically live off my Bitcoin and I earn Bitcoin back through our company. One other thing we also rolled out, the idea here was like, let's just help you earn as much Bitcoin as possible for your everyday shopping. So that started with Visa cards, started with gift cards. But we just rolled out a new feature, very similar to Lolli or Satsback, where you can now shop at like 10,000 brands just through our website. So on the online offers section, which you're seeing here, you know, there's so many brands, but like, you know, you can go to Fubo TV or Harry and David or, you know, Sam's Club. As long as you just like shop through our website, we're going to send you, you know, 1, 2, 5, 10% back in Bitcoin. So yeah, it's just a great way to earn. Like, you're probably already shopping at Starbucks. You're probably already, you know, the thing I stack the most on is Airbnb and Uber. So every time I'm like, you know, going to Miami for a conference and I'm booking an Airbnb, I buy a gift card or I do that online shopping through our app, and I've earned like six million sats in the last year just on everyday shopping. And that's like, that's not actually purchasing Bitcoin. It's just, you know, using it wisely, I guess. So yeah, that's us. Opti's always getting on me about not shilling the company, but yeah, we're out here building products and trying to give you as much Bitcoin back.
You did a great job, Ben. Might have done better than me, but For the people out there that are very concerned about, you know, KYCing themselves, I think that's one of the biggest features about the Bitcoin company that I love the most. It is a no KYC option to spend your Bitcoin in real life. And like, I'm not saying this just because you are my friend, Ben. I've literally been living off the Bitcoin company app for the last, I don't know, maybe like year. I tap my Apple Pay everywhere I go, and that's how I've been pretty much surviving. I try to sell as minimal Bitcoin as possible, and downloading this app, buying the Visa credit cards, and going straight into Apple Pay to, you know, tap at the grocery store is literally how I've been surviving lately. Like, I'm not just saying this and shilling my friend's product because he's my friend. I shill it because I love this company. This is one of my favorite companies because I'm surviving off of it, bro. And kudos to you. I think you guys are killing it. Do we need to cover some more stuff on the Bitcoin company?
I kind of want to bounce it off of Ben. Of BTC Sessions, Ben, and then we'll go back to the Bitcoin company. Ben, you make a fuck ton of tutorials, dude. What's it like? You know, I know that you've gone down this rabbit hole. It's hard to live on a Bitcoin standard, isn't it?
You're obviously jumping through more hoops than just living on a fiat standard. But at the end of the day, like, it's an ideological thing. And, you know, I'd rather be living on a sound money standard and having a few extra things that I do in order to achieve that, because like I don't want to use like you so often say, I don't want to use money that I have to work for that somebody else can create for free. And so, you know, I'll go through the trouble of, you know, taking my money and getting gift cards so that I can then use it in fiat world for a period of time. That's totally fine. It also changes your perspective in that you start thinking about your purchasing more clearly. Because when it's just dollars, it's like, fuck, whatever. Let's get rid of these useless pieces of paper. But when it's Bitcoin, you're like, do I need this? Do I need to spend these sats? I don't know. I did a video on the Bitcoin company when I think shortly after you guys first launched.
Yeah, that's how we knew we made it.
Yeah. Also, I'm still like, I was just looking, I'm still getting like, you know, 69 sats coming in like every day or something from different people, like looking at the tutorial and signing up with the link that I did. But I had a question about the Visa card thing, because I know it might be different from Canada to the US to all that stuff. So when you're doing the Visa card things, is it like it's a singular prepaid card? Once it depletes, then you purchase like an entirely new card with a new number. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So the answer is yes. It's a single load card. The main reason being like they've clamped down on just about every way to either buy Bitcoin with no KYC or sell Bitcoin with no KYC. So we're like a real solution as a KYC free off ramp. You can almost think of us as an exchange. Instead of selling your Bitcoin at, you know, your exchange of choice and then wiring it to your bank account and then having access to a, you know, debit card, you can essentially just send us Bitcoin and instantly have a debit card. But the reason it's structured the way it is because it's frankly FinCEN. There's a stored value exemption. It's like one of the last ways that you can kind of use money with no KYC other than cash. And they say as long as you sell $1,000 Visa cards that are non-reloadable, there's like a bunch of these little caveats, and one of the main ones is non-reloadable, then you can do it without, you know, a bunch of extra information and people's IDs and stuff. So, you know, we're just following the rules. I can sell you 10 $1,000 Visa cards today, but if I sell you a $1,001 card, nope, I need your ID. And if you can reload it, if you can put $10 on it at the end of the day extra, then nope, I need KYC. So, you know, if that's the rules, you know, 10-foot walls make 11-foot ladders. In this case, it's a 9-foot ladder for a 10-foot wall, but, you know, we're staying below that threshold.
I love that. So, and Ben, just to go back, fuck.
Good. R.I.P. me later when I host a show with five of us.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
Last names only.
But, okay, Price. Okay, so Very, very interesting. I love how you talked about, you know, the rules and regulation stuff about how, look, if it's over $1,000, that's not okay. You could buy multiple cards. But I, by the way, it's not just Opti who's, you know, who's a big fan and actual user of your company. I use it as well. I think it's a great freaking solution. Cause you don't have to go through all the hoops that you normally would. Right. And I just want to highlight that to everybody. If you want to live on a Bitcoin standard, check out the Bitcoin Company. They're a great, great solution to this. They make it very, very easy to live on a Bitcoin standard.
And use the promo code Simply. I didn't even know how it is. I think it's a ref link. I don't know what it is. I was talking to Ben about it.
When you sign up, there's a little field, and if you type in Simply, then every time you buy a Visa card or a gift card, we'll send some stats their way. We've got a lot of cool features. There's auto withdrawals enabled, so you can put in your Lightning address and immediately withdraw like all your rewards. But yeah, I get sick of the FUD when people say like it's hard to live off Bitcoin. It's really not that hard. Like
you made it fucking easy, dude.
Yeah, I've dropped like all my bank accounts. I only have Bitcoin, and when I need, you know, a little bit of spending money, I just load it up on a Visa card, and you don't have to have any information. You don't have to have a bank account. It's really not that hard anymore these days.
Yeah, but
I agree. As long as you can tap,
live off Bitcoin. I agree with you on an individual level. So like on an individual level, it's totally viable. Not on a business level. There's no fucking way.
We've got businesses that have like fully switched to a Bitcoin standard, and they like pay their employees with our Visa cards.
Really?
Or they pay their employees with Bitcoin, and we give them special rates on their cards. Like it's more and more doable. I mean, there's, especially if you're a Bitcoin only company. I know like Peach Bitcoin out here, they don't have a bank account. They take all their investor money with Bitcoin. Like it's getting there. And you know, I think we're not too far out before like there's some real solutions in the, like, and merchants are really adopting it like up and down the supply stream. So in the meantime, like this solves just about every purchase you could make. Like I went from Texas to like Las Vegas the other week, only living on these. Like I bought my airline with it. I bought my Uber with it. I bought my coffee with it. And then, you know, the random purchases at, you know, little stores here or there, you just have a Visa card for. So
Nico, easy. Before we go on, I want to say on the same point, I literally drove from California to Texas using the Visa Pay Apple cards and bought gas all the way across the state.
So that was my question, right? So because I was thinking, I was like, do you have to mail the physical cards every time?
No. You get a digital Visa card. You upload it to your Apple Pay, and you can tap with your phone.
And then ba-bing.
Yeah, like I don't have a physical one. I should get a physical one, but yeah exactly. Can.
Okay.
Can you read out that card number for me? Yeah,
can you read out the card number?
You can't see it. But anyways, one more question before I do want to pivot a little bit over here, Price. But someone's asking, can you use the digital visas or the physical visas to pay bills on PayPal?
It's hit or miss with certain merchants. I know these cards cannot be used to withdraw cash at an ATM, and by this, in the same vein, they probably can't be used on PayPal, but I'm not positive. In fact, we had someone do a hack the other day where they, I know that you can't, PayPal actually does accept it, because what they did is they sent funds like via friends and family. I think PayPal has some sort of setting where you can like pay other people. So they almost like paid a merchant that was accepting via PayPal, and then their friend just sent them the money back, and then they withdrew. I guess it's a good little hack, but yeah, I think like you can use it on PayPal. You probably can't like specifically load up your own digital wallet, but I know you can pay other people. But yeah, awesome. we also got a few more things coming. Like we're going to have Euro cards, Canadian dollar cards, British pound cards. We're working on a yen card. And so these will avoid all the international fees. And then we actually spun up an entity in Brazil. So we're going to be doing similar to how like Bitnob and, you know, is doing remittances to Africa. We're going to be doing like kind of instant remittance payments to both Mexico and Brazil very soon. So, we're trying to build it all, man. And then, you know, pretty soon we'll be launching a non-custodial exchange. So, you know, we let you stack sats and earn rewards, and pretty soon we'll actually let you purchase and sell Bitcoin if you want. But again, like, why sell it when you you're probably selling it to spend it. And, you know, why wait like a day to have your, you know, why pay a percent and then wire your funds to your bank account and then be able to spend it when you can just like load it on a card today.
Very, very cool, man.
Love it. All right, Nico, very quick before we get into the memes, because Price also works on another very important company called OpenSats. So let's talk about OpenSats right quick, and then we'll get into the memes.
Awesome. Yeah, OpenSats was something I started when I was actually at Visa because I was sick of working on CBDCs. And so I always hated as a kid when I saw like charities that were taking a bunch of money and, you know, quote unquote nonprofit, but they were just paying themselves. So what OpenSats really lets you do is it tries to support, you know, the open source contributors that are working on Bitcoin and other open source tools. And we have two big things about us. One, we're 100% pass through. So every dollar you give or every sat you give goes straight through to the people working on Bitcoin. And then we also, we have a great board. I'm not sure if they're listed there on the site, but you know, an awesome 9-person board of like hardcore Bitcoiners, me, myself, Gigi, you know, Elenu, Dread, Odell, Nifty, NVK, tons of awesome people. James is our core dev, Janine, privacy expert. But yeah, you can go to our website. You can pick and choose a project like BTC Pay or Zeus Wallet, or you can just give to our general fund, and the board will try and allocate it to our best ability. And yeah, you can write it off on your taxes. So instead of paying, you know, the tax man that no one wants to pay, you can donate to Seed Signer, donate to Craig at Sparrow That's Wallet awesome. Or Thunder Hub, and like actually support the people building on top of Bitcoin. And yeah, we've been lucky enough to receive some big donations lately. Gigi is now running the organization full time. The website is that he's actually working right now on a V2 of the website. We're very quietly in the background working on everything, but we're about to announce like, I think 10 or 15 huge grants. We're, you know, thinking about things long-term. So there will be like some long-term grants to Bitcoin Core contributors. And then, you know, a ton of Nostr grants coming out. We try to stay quiet about it until we deliver, but I'm pretty sure our ETA here is to start releasing some stuff in the next week or so. So you'll hear about it organically. We're going to start giving away a ton of money to, you know, Bitcoin Core contributors and Nostr or people building on Nostr projects. So basically, if you want to give back to the people that are supporting these tools and technologies that you're using, this is a great way to do it. And if you are building on open source, you know, if you're a Bitcoin Core maintainer, if you're, you know, a code reviewer, if you're building open source projects, you should come apply for a grant, or at the very least, get your site listed on a website so people can donate to you and, you know, kind of write it off on their taxes as a charity. But yeah, I appreciate all the support out there. We wouldn't be able to do it without the community.
Oh, it's freaking awesome, dude. I love, you know, you're fighting on two fronts, man. You know, you're making it easier for people to live off a Bitcoin standard, and also, you know, you're helping Bitcoin development get funding. So, you know, all the power to you, Ben, and all the power to both you, Bens, because you guys are both fighting the good fight. And you know, appreciate what you do, Ben Price, and appreciate what you do as well.
The Ben Council strong.
Yeah, it's the Bens, right? It's the Bens. Why is there no Nico? There's just one Nico. It's very strange. It's very strange.
And one Opti. We're so alone over here.
I know.
What about we need a wait? There is a camp council of anti-Bens. They're coming in strong in the chat. Tucson and Skeef.
They're just jealous, guys. They're jealous.
All right, everybody. It's time for the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom! Bro, I saw this in the chat. Jeffrey said it earlier. Literally looked at the price this morning and said to myself, "Kaboom racks, Opti, it's working."
Let's go. Kaboom racks. All right, you already know the deal. This is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show, where you tag me on memes on Twitter, and or drop them in our Telegram group, and I do my best to get as many of them on the show as possible. Sorry to my boy Copernicus. I can't get any of your memes on because they are not YouTube friendly. So work on that, bro. Anyways, tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. We are in an information war, and as you can tell from today's show, it is very important for every single one of us to put our hat in the ring and hit it from all fronts, whether it is making content, whether it's making memes, shit posting with your friends, or building the Bitcoin businesses that will change the world. Anyways, first meme, shouts out to Maxi's Club. There is no comment here, but if you guys have been on social media the last couple of days, you guys have probably heard about the submarine Titanic stuff. Well, Maxi's Club did a play on this, and we got a shit coiner here, and it goes, "We're all in the same boat." And the toxic Bitcoiner looks at the boat and it's on fire and it's a Titanic, and he goes, "Nope, no, we're not. We are not in the same boat." Okay, this next one is by Hoddle Never Soddle, and he goes, 300 days until the Bitcoin halving 2024, TikTok next block. And we got this girl here, and there's a dove coming to the girl, and the dove has a message, and she reads the message, and it goes, 2023 is the last chance to reach your stacking goal. Continue the stack. This one, Nico, is very meta. I think this one was, I saw this one from our friend Dr. Bitcoin MD, and I was like, oh, this is a Nico meme right here. Just very meta. Okay. So we got three circles here, overlapping circles, Venn diagram, I think they're called, and it's Weimar Republic, and we have the fall of the Roman Empire and the Yugoslavia circa 1990s. So the Weimar Republic overlap with the fall of the Roman Empire is rampant degeneracy, and then the fall of the Roman Empire to Yugoslavia circa 1990s, societal collapse, and then Yugoslavia circa 1990s circle overlapping Weimar Republic, and we have ethnic conflict, and then in the middle we have the Bitcoiner with laser eyes. You are here. This is where we are in the story, guys. Stack them sats. Okay, the next meme is by Plan Marcus. Shouts out to you, bro. And he goes, increase your purchasing power with hashtag Bitcoin. And we got a baby Arnold Schwarzenegger over here. And he goes, dumping shit coins your first cycle. And then we got him. I don't think I was going to say
Arnold on the left.
Yeah, I guess so. It looks like him. Yeah. I was going to say Arnold roided up, but maybe he's natty. Maybe. I don't know. It goes, holding Bitcoin three cycles. What's that one video of him? The pump video. Go watch the pump video.
You need to get a good pump.
You need to do good pump.
You need to get good pump.
Okay. All right. This next one is by my boy Ropium. Shouts out to you, Rope. And he goes, shitcoiners moving remaining dust off exchanges. And I guess this is an MTC BTC quote. And you have this guy underwater with his laptop in the water, absolutely wrecked and devastated. Okay, this next one is not so much a meme. It's more cultural commentary. We got KST or at Sovereign Hodler. And it goes, Bitcoin purse featured on Sex and the City. Bull market confirmed. Let's fucking go. And there's the little Bitcoin purse
that
on.
That show is still a thing. I didn't even know that.
I don't know. Me neither. But I added this one by Pablo at the end to kind of link the last two. And it goes, never settle for second best.
What's the second best? There is no second best.
And this is, I forget what movie this is, the like asteroid movie with Leo DiCaprio. Yeah, yeah. And they're in bed. He goes, I've slept with two former presidents. I speak four languages and I own two Monets. And Leo goes, yeah, but do you self-custody your Bitcoin? Do you self-custody your Bitcoin or else? It doesn't matter. Oh, Nico, that was PG-13.
It was PG-13. All right,
drop.
Opti gets me in trouble regularly.
Drop your meme review score in the chat, and we'll cover them live. Okay, I got this new passport external hard drive to hold all of the Simply Bitcoin files because it ate up all of my computer space.
Yeah. They tend to do that. Anyways, I'm gonna touch the tip, Ben. Nope. Yeah, you left me hanging.
It's there.
Oh, okay. Wait. We're doing it through the camera.
Wait. How is how?
Oh, it's happening.
How sessions? There we go. Yeah. How sessions like?
His hair is too gel.
Oh man! All right, Ben Price, you're on the spot, bro. These are some crazy scores. What are you gonna give it? And to make it more dramatic, music, and I'm gonna make you full screen.
Well, I already forgot. I already kind of forgot what they were, but I would say
it should be that drink you're drinking.
I really liked the, and there's nothing left. I really liked the underwater one, but I thought it was mostly because it reminded me of the moisturized in my lane. So I think they missed an opportunity there. So I'll give that a 5 out of 10.
Rope devastated.
Yeah, the Venn diagram, it was actually okay, but Opti trying to explain a Venn diagram really messed that up. So I'm sorry, it's not your fault.
It was hard. It's hard.
Yeah, it's not your fault. But that
audio listeners wrecked.
Yeah, feature never. Not a bug. I can't speak English
and I can't read.
I did like the. Oh, you also missed opportunity for Venn diagram. The boat one is timely. I like the theme. Like, we're not on the same boat. Crypto bros are not trying to solve the same problem as Bitcoiners. We're trying to build a free money for all. You're trying to, I don't know, get a Lambo or something and scam people. So I really like that one. I think, you know, it could have been a submarine. It's a missed opportunity there.
Uh-oh, I think we missed him or dropped him.
Yeah, listen! That's called motherfucking fraud.
The score came right on time. Anyways, okay. All right, good.
I forget the other one. It clearly wasn't that good.
All right. BTC sessions, what would you give those memes?
All right. So I'm going to say that my favorite one was the boat because, yes, we're not on the same boat. And I'm going to give it a Bitcoin mining gnome.
Wow. Ooh.
Some dude gave this to me at in Toronto. He did I did a private session with him online, helping him set up a bunch of cold storage and everything. He literally brought me a Bitcoin gnome to the Canadian Bitcoin conference and gave it to me. I had to go buy a second suitcase because I have so much shit bringing home from all
is he
travel.
Selling those or is Ooh, that a God. One of one?
No, he got it somewhere. He like bought it for me, but how sweet is that? Now it goes on the shelf.
Awesome.
Holy cow. Wow. I like that. A Bitcoin gnome. Anyways.
No, it's not.
Opti, let's start reading some of the scores, but first.
Yeah, I got some. This one, I'm going to leave this one up to you. It's not right. It's not PG-13 bad, but.
No, I can't say that, dude. Can't say that, Opti. Too silly. I give
Wait,
the memes,
I might have it in here, my soundboard.
I give the memes a shampoo pin. Pen. Phil C, I give the memes 10,000 sats to fix the money, fix the world. Very nice, very nice. Elaine, Bitcoin credit card, genius. Ooh, there we go. I love that. Next one by Someday Soon. I give it Nick and Ben's tips forever touching. Okay. UTXO, I give the memes a Venn diagram.
Nice.
Wine, what are you doing here? I give the memes Copper Nixon getting his own meme segment while Nico tied down to his chair forced to read them. Nigel Lori says, I give the memes a bleach blonde stripe through the bush.
Go on.
Hammersaw, I give them a Bitcoin whale making the price top at $31,420 today. And Apollo 21, I give the memes my best impression of Nico in a rant while windsurfing off Miami Beach. Okay. All right. Opti's undisclosed reason for Bitcoin. Bob's shorting Bitcoin before Ben, the CEO of Bitcoin company, is mysteriously suicidal.
God, dark real quick.
We're buzzing it. Pandera's box, meme scored the next halving countdown, 290 days, 16 hours and 40 minutes. Thank you, guys. Well, appreciate all the meme scores. We're out of time, Opti. We're out of time. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. I want to give a very special shout out to our awesome guest for joining us today. Ben Price from the Bitcoin Company. Thank you, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell everybody where they could find you or where they could find the Bitcoin Company? I'll pull it up. There we go.
They can find me in Virginia right now if you're here. The bitcoincompany.com. You can search the Bitcoin Company in, you know, your app store, or you can download an APK. We also got a web app, and then hard shill of OpenSats, opensats.org. Instead of paying your tax, give back to your Bitcoin core devs. So come donate, and we'll be sure it goes to, you know, someone really well deserving of it. So appreciate you guys having me on. Never let Opti read a Venn diagram on air again. That was really bad.
Oh man, well, dude, it's been an honor. Thank you so much for joining us, Ben, and keep doing what you're doing, bro. This is freaking awesome. You're contributing so much to the ecosystem. It's absolutely incredible, and I'm very, very glad that you're on our side. Anyways, I also want to give a shout out to BTC Sessions. Thank you so much for joining us today, man. I know it was on a short notice. I appreciate you guys. If you guys want to find his, you guys want to find his channel, just search BTC Sessions on YouTube. And of course, Ben, Why Are We Bullish is back, isn't it?
It's back. I had a super cut from my travels, but we're back to a real episode a little bit earlier today, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, and it's all Ben's. There will be five of us on the stream, so good luck with that one.
Oof, it's gonna be a great show, guys. Tune into it. What are the guests?
So I've got Ben Gagnon, I've got Ben Schmidt, I've got Kiwi or New Zealand HODL. And I've got Ben DeWall.
Awesome. Very, very cool. All right. Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining us on Simply Bitcoin. Guys, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing. And if you feel like we provided you value, I already said that. Anyway, it's been a long day. It's been Friday. Check out the audio version of the show, Anchor, Spotify, Apple. And we'll be back on Monday, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. Peace out, y'all.